Anytime you bring up the topic of anything related to marijuana, it sets off a whole bunch of different alarms in certain people. And over the last several years, we've had a really good opportunity to get some more insight into some of the products that revolve around the marijuana slash or the marijuana or cannabis industry. And one of those being CBD. And if you're not familiar with it, you might automatically lean toward it's going to get me high or it's going to turn me into this or one of those weird commercials or video movies that you may have seen in your life at some point. But some of the overreaching medical, environmental, and, well, just overall uses for the product that comes from the hemp industry might surprise you. So I had a really good conversation with Josh Hendricks of CV Sciences about what CBD is and how it can help us live better lives and have a better environment all around. So check it out right here on the Charles Tendell Show.
Massacre of 14 people
at a Planned Parenthood in Colorado.
Killing a black teenager.
American income inequalities on the war on terror
by powerful assault weapons.
New war between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Okay, what the
What the f*** is that? What is that, Private Pile?
How did you get started in all of this? Like, what is your background? How did you end up where you are today?
Well, when I was in college, I read a book called The Last Free Man in America by Gatewood Galbraith, who's a friend of my grandfather's and an independent politician here in the state of Kentucky that was buddies with Willie Nelson and Woody Harrelson and all those guys. And if you've ever seen the documentary, Hempsters Plant the Seed, he's a big figure in that. He obviously never won anything, but now that he's passed away, and I think people are starting to realize in the modern day times that we live in that Gatewood was right. Cannabis does need to be legal, and especially hemp, and even in conservative states like Indiana, where I was yesterday, or Kentucky, where I reside. You know, even if they're not going to, you know, what Mark Twain once said, if the end of the world comes, take me to Kentucky because they're 20 years behind. Well, that may be true with cannabis overall, but when it comes to hemp, we're one of the front runners. And so I think that really piqued my interest. And even at the time in the mid-2000s, I knew Kentucky would be behind on marijuana. But knowing what I knew about the Kentucky history with hemp and knowing that every other industrialized nation in the world grows hemp except for us, I thought, well, that's silly. We should be doing this. So I got interested in it then. Turned into some research and some phone calls being made and essentially being told, well, it's not going to matter. You can't do anything with it because the federal government still considers it like heroin, and kind of lost interest, moved to Charleston, South Carolina after college here at UK, and got involved in fundraising, and then 4 years later, work took me to Virginia, and I was still doing that. I just wasn't terribly happy, and I was kind of considering business school or law school or just a career change in general, and kind of out of nowhere, Commissioner Comer brought up hemp here in Kentucky. He's now one of our congressmen. I kind of started following. I started my Twitter account at Hendricks Hemp, really, so people wouldn't see me following all these cannabis companies, and started reaching out to people. And like I said, the day the farm bill passed in February of 2014, I went to my boss's office and said, "Hey, listen, you know, no hard feelings. I need a change. I'm putting in my notice." And he said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to go back to Kentucky and try to figure out how to get involved in the hemp industry." And so here we are today.
Wow. Now, did your boss look at you sideways? Was he like, "You're crazy"?
Oh yeah, yeah. and my dad and my mom. I mean, everybody was like, "Yeah." I told them, I said, "It's like going to business school. I'm going to look at it like a graduate school program, and hopefully, you know, a year or two from now, I'll have a good job and with a good company and be able to progress from there." And I did that with CB Sciences about a year and a half after I moved home, and things have been looking up ever since. And now, you know, I get to go around and give talks about the positive disruption. And you don't have, if something scares you, it's usually better just to run towards it than run away from it, because good things can happen from that. I think we're seeing that with hemp, and seeing that we're all, those of us that support it, are going to be on the right side of history with this one.
Nice. So you would say that you've grown into a budding industry of sorts.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. I might steal that for my next presentation.
Go for it. Go for it. I mean, hopefully I can see it, or you can tag me in it and I can actually laugh with you with it. But so there's a lot of misconceptions. There's a lot of resistance when people say these things. And I can imagine your boss looked at you like, why are you going to go do that? Why is it going to be this? And you yourself said that the federal government still looks at marijuana or anything marijuana related kind of like heroin. But hemp and cannabis and different things out there, there are different parts of it and there are different pieces to it that don't all revolve around marijuana, right?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, for me, it was, like you said, my boss probably looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, well, this is a common sense issue. Hemp is non-intoxicating. There's no, anybody selling a hemp product at a health food store, they don't want it to be intoxicating. No one's trying to fool anybody and sell cannabis in a hemp, you know, roll. Number one, the pricing would be totally different. It'd be cheap marijuana if you could get it at that price. But also, you know, they're two separate products for two separate, distinct separate people, and getting people to understand that was kind of my mission. But at the same time, you just kind of saw this is where things were going, right? You know, with social media, with the power we have today that we didn't have back when hemp was outlawed, you know, change is coming, I guess you would say. And so I guess I talked to a lot of politicians, and even some of the younger, more outspoken ones, they talk about how they need to get, you know, a couple people need to die to change some of these rules. They just mean that there's some old politicians that you can't get out of office because they're getting reelected over and over again. And so until they die, you're not going to be able to change it. And that happens at the state level and at the federal level. And so really trying to get people to understand that hemp is a totally separate subject. The hemp products are, you know, hemp is defined as cannabis with less than 0.3% THC in it. So put that in perspective, a joint from Colorado where you are, you know, 20 to 50%, who knows what they're whipping up these days in terms of the THC level. And that's extremely intoxicating. So you know, what's the old saying, you can smoke a telephone pole of hemp and not get high, you wouldn't want to do that. But you can also make tons of great products from it. So you've got the stock, which you can take and make, you know, people think, oh, T-shirts and hemp fabrics. Well, maybe in China, we simply don't have any textile mills here in the U.S. anymore. And that's not to say there won't be small companies doing that. But the main thing from that fiber is going to be, which used to be the ropes and the sails that everybody knows, now that's going to be composite material. If you buy a brand new Mercedes or BMW, there's hemp fiber in your dashboard or in your door panel, just like there's Knaf.
Wait, and so there, composite, there is currently?
Yeah, brand new. They're like 2016 on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're, you know, they're taking those composite materials. They're trying to find more durability and lighter weight. So you're going to get better safety and more fuel economy. And over in Europe, they have environmental standards now, where if you're a big manufacturing company like that, and you're not meeting those standards, you're going to get fined millions of dollars. And so the U.S. is usually a little behind on environmental standards. But I think, you know, you'll start to see either hemp become a competitive alternative to some of those things. Think about any kind of hard material, composite type material. So the overhead compartments on airplanes, tables, chairs, doors, I mean, anything that's hard, skateboards, surfboards, they say you can make 25,000 things out of hemp. Well, that's because you can make anything out of hemp in terms of the fiber. But if you have to grow it on a massive scale to make it price competitive with plastics and fiberglass and all those kinds of things. So that's just the stock. That's just the outside of the stock. The inside of the stock, you've got the herd, and that's where you hear about hempcrete, which is a building material. We just built a hempcrete house here in Lexington. It's not to scale yet because you're kind of packing it in, building the walls by hand. But I think one day you'll start to see preformed walls and stuff. And that's literally just a byproduct of that fiber. So it's kind of the sawdust of the hemp stock, if you will. Where I'm from, we're looking at it for horse bedding and animal bedding, chicken bedding. I think in Colorado, a lot of people are looking at it as an energy source because it's a clean burn. So it takes a lot of it, and it burns fast, but it's still a cleaner burn than a lot of what we're using for bioenergy. And then you go up to the top of the plant, and you've got the flowers and the seeds. Well, the seeds, we've been buying hemp seed and hemp seed oil and hemp hearts and hemp protein powders from Canada for 20 years now, and making soaps and you've seen Nativa and Manitoba Harvest and some of these different food products in your health food store. Now you're starting to see domestic companies like Victory Hemp Foods in Louisville or Evo Hemp Bars out in Colorado, creating their own food version from the seeds. And you're going to see some cool stuff come down the pipeline with that. I mean, protein powder, protein isolates, and all kinds of things for just a better, healthier gut kind of thing. And eventually, I think you'll start to see, I mean, there's hemp hot dogs now. There's, you know, hemp chicken fingers where the breading is hemp seeds instead of whatever breading is. And you can tell I cook a lot. And basically, I think that hemp seed, the food, has the potential to, you know, hopefully replace soy and go about it in a correct way. So a non-GMO, a non, you know, potentially the more organic type ways of growing, because we are starting from scratch. That's the advantage we have. And so after you get through all of that, the actual thing that's driving the industry right now is hemp extracts. But that won't always be the case. Eventually, you'll be growing way more hemp for fiber and for food than you will for the extracts. The extracts will actually become a byproduct of the combine going through there to get the seeds. They'll be blowing the flower out the back. You'll be extracting that on a massive level, and hemp extracts like Plus CBD oil that we make, or many of the other hemp extracts out there on the marketplace that are flooding the natural products industry, will be, you know, it'll all kind of even out. But right now, that's really what's driving it, and that's what's, you know, the full body health supplement that people are looking for as an alternative or as a natural product. That's what's driving it right now. But that, I don't think that'll always be the case. So.
Nice. Now, what is the fundamental difference between cannabis and marijuana? I know a lot of people, they hear marijuana or they hear anything in the subject. Like I said, they hear anything in that sphere and they immediately think the, you know, insert any Cheech and Chong movie or anything else that they've seen out there. What is the biggest difference between cannabis and marijuana?
Well, it's all, I think you mean hemp and marijuana.
Hemp and marijuana.
Yeah, it's all cannabis, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lemon and an orange are both from the that type of whatever, I can't think of it right now, but that type of fruit category. But they're very different. And mm-hmm. the difference, the thing that causes that difference in the hemp plant is the THC level. Mm-hmm. So the THC level is the intoxicating thing that gets us high when we smoke a joint or whatever. And there's just essentially none of that in the hemp plant. So it's non-intoxicating. It's a plant. It's a food source. It's maybe the greatest food source we'll ever have 20 years from now. And it's a superfood. So in the hemp plant, instead of being heavy in THC, it would be heavy in CBD, cannabidiol. And CBD and many of the other phytocannabinoids are showing scientifically to have many, many benefits to our endocannabinoid system, which we just discovered is basically our master control system. And so when that system is not, when you're not healthy and you're not working out and eating well and, you know, living your best life, your endocannabinoid system starts to struggle and it becomes out of balance. And so when it becomes out of balance, the rest of your systems that it controls obviously can get out of balance too. So your immune system, your nervous system, all these different things can start to get a little bit out of whack. And that causes one problem, which causes another, which causes different ailments and pains and just, makes life harder, right? And when we correct that by introducing phytocannabinoids, because we're not producing enough endocannabinoids in our body, these plant-based cannabinoids like CBD can balance that system back out. Just like you can be deficient in iron or vitamin D, I like to think that we're all probably a little bit deficient in cannabinoids, but I think some people may be worse than others, obviously, based on their current health status. And I think, you know, once we introduce these products and you start to balance that out, you really do, the balancing of that system is the achievement of homeostasis, which is what we're all looking for, which means every day things are good. You know, your stress levels stay low, your anxiety levels stay low, you've got the right amount of energy. When you use that energy, you recover it faster, all these different benefits that we're seeing is really just life is about balance. And then when you balance, like we say, balance the system that balances you, all of a sudden your quality of life goes up. You can have 1 to 10 different health problems. Everything goes back to the endocannabinoid system. But as I like to also tell people, our products can either be a Band-Aid or they can be a solution. Mm-hmm. Now, they can be a Band-Aid if you're gluten intolerant, but you refuse to quit eating gluten. Mm. If you quit eating gluten and you take CBD, then now we're talking about a much healthier living. You know, even though you're not getting the gluten you want or you're craving or whatever, the CBD is going to still, you know, correct all that bad gluten that you've got in there before. So, you know, trying to get people to understand it's always difficult because it is so new and there's a lot of things that we can't legally say, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the main thing is that we all want to feel better. And I recommend any hemp extract product, try it, try different amounts of it, see what day you feel best. You know, find your groove. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, know, some days I need one cup of coffee and some days I need two. But I'm always trying to feel better when I drink my coffee. And so getting people to think like that is kind of my goal.
Nice. Now, with this, you're saying that the research and all these things is just now coming out. This is an emerging industry. This is where people are just getting started to see this. What's causing it? What's been the trigger? I mean, you said other nations around the world have been growing hemp and been dealing with things like this and have been using products or CBD, other products CBD related for years, and the United States is still kind of behind that. What's been hindering it at this point?
Well, I think it's just... I think it's the way we've been trained as a society. So, you know, we could blame the legislators for being, and that's true. They're, you know, they're very standoffish to marijuana, not because of their own personal beliefs in a lot of cases. A lot of times it's they want to get reelected. Their district might not be in support of that. I think, you know, I think as a society, though, I guess I go around and I tell people, we've been trained that we should, you know, that we should just be told what to do. We go to the doctor, we say, hey, I got this problem. They would give us a little piece of paper. We go to the pharmacy. We get a bottle that says take two twice a day. And we do it.
We generally don't know what's in that bottle, but yeah, we take it.
Well, we don't ask any questions. Mm-hmm. And then we take it for a month. I mean, I had this conversation with my mom the other day, and she said, you know, she's saying, I remember when I got put on this medication, I took it for 60 days. And she's like, I felt terrible the whole time I was taking it. And I was like, well, did you ever call the doctor? And she was like, no, because that's what he told me to do. And I thought, well, eventually it'll make me feel better. And I think we've just trained ourselves to just be told, hey, you got this, go do this. And we do it, as opposed to listening to our bodies and you know, understanding how we feel. That's the cool thing about CBD. Everybody wants to know, well, how much do I take for this? Or how much should I take if this is my situation? And I say, I have no idea. We could be the exact same size, but we could have two different endocannabinoid systems. Mm-hmm. Just like we have two different sets of DNA. Mm-hmm. You've got to kind of be the guinea pig, but that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You get to find your best, you know, you get to search for your best self in a way. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was, you know, the titration chart that we use is based off of our extra strength green spray. You can get that unflavored or peppermint, but on day one, do two sprays. On day two, you do three sprays twice a day. And on day four, you know, it increases every day. And so, you know, I tell people, when you take too much CBD, you're going to experience somnolence. You're going to feel a little bit, you know, just drowsy, tired. It's kind of like you ate too much turkey on Thanksgiving Day and you're tired of watching the Lions get beat.
Yeah, we call it the itis. Yep.
Yeah. And so then you know, okay, that was too much. But you can look back and go, you know what, on day six, I really was, you know, I had energy, I was focused, you know, whatever it is that helped you, what day did you feel the best? And now you know, okay, that's six sprays a day, that equates to $2.50 a day, and I would gauge that I felt 20% better than I did, you know, before I started taking plus CBD oil or CBD oil in general. And like Dr. Lewis is on our medical advisory board, he said, if I told you you could take something for less than $3 or $4 or $5 even a day, and it would improve your quality of life 10, 20, 30, 40, 50%. What's the percent that you did it needed to hit for you to do it? He goes, you go to Starbucks and buy a cup of coffee every morning. Does it improve your life 20%?
Yeah, it improves everyone else's life. Cause anybody who wants to interact with, or who has to interact with me before that cup of coffee, their life is going to be bad. I mean, it's just going to be a horrible experience for them. So it's worth it for them. But that's one of the aspects that with CBD and with other products from it that I've seen in recent years have started to come out. You know, many years ago, when I first got out of the Army, right? When I first got out of the Army, I was hardcore anti marijuana. anything marijuana, if it was marijuana or if it was CBD or if it was any type of hemp product, anything, you know, if you brought it up, it was like that. And then as the years progressed, as the information became more available, as more people started talking about it, and eventually it became medically legalized in Colorado and then recreational legalized for marijuana, the data started flowing even more freely about the positive aspects of what CBD was. And I started seeing, I started trying it. I started using it and it helped me with PTSD. And then I started recommending it to some of my veteran friends. It was like, look, try this. You know, it's going to take some time to get used to. It's going to take some working to get used to and find the right rhythm for you, but it's going to help you in more ways than I can ever explain in words. But in general, what all is CBD and products like it, what are they good for in terms of treating, you know, overall health?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I think I testified yesterday in Indiana in front of the Senate for their bill to basically just to clarify the legality of hemp extracts in the state there. And there were 7 veterans that testified before me. They had obviously testified a lot because they just got up there and said the same thing I said last time. But, you know, you're seeing those kinds of results. So with our products, we have 3 different levels. We have a red and a green and a gold. And the red is our raw product. So when we take that hemp out of the field, we dry it, and we CO2 extract it. We get a raw paste, if you will. We can take that product and we can make it into a balm, which you will see a red salve or balm. It's going to be it's going to be raw. So it's going to be really more suited for burns, skin conditions, eczema, psoriasis, that kind of thing, acne. A lot of women use it for the circles under their eyes, things like that. We also have created a soft gel from that raw, so a red soft gel. And it's actually, a lot of the phytocannabinoids haven't been activated yet. So that CO2 doesn't get hot enough to activate those phytocannabinoids. So you're going to get 5 milligrams of what we call CBD/CBDA. It's going to be 2-3, one way or the other ratio of active CBD and unactivated. It's going to be really going to lean towards the more unactivated version, which we know doesn't break the blood-brain barrier. So this is something that we're researching and trying to find out if this is going to be safer in kids whose brains are still developing. But what we do know is that it does work from, people say the neck down, I say the forehead down, because your sinus cavities can become inflamed, and that can cause a lot of problems with your sinuses. So any kind of anti-inflammatory type responses that you're looking for, whether it's post-workout related inflammation. Like I said, my sinuses, I've been taking it for it. I think it's helping a little bit. But my friends that are CrossFitters that work out twice a day, we've got some girls out in Colorado there that are big climbers. You know, they take 5 or 6, anything that you would take an ibuprofen for, that type of soreness, stiffness, you know, anything that people have trained their bodies to, you know, a little headache or mental cramps or motion sickness or whatever, that's where I tell people to insert that red into their daily life. Mm-hmm. When we decarboxylate it, we heat the rest of all those phytocannabinoids up. Now we're going to get our green product, which is our full spectrum, mainly just because we haven't taken it any, concentrated any further than we needed to. We're just activating all the goodies. And so that's going to be 85% phytocannabinoids and or 85% plant material and 15% phytocannabinoids. So you're going to get all the good plant sterols, all the fatty acids, all the terpenes, all the chlorophyll, all that good stuff. And you're also going to get however many milligrams of CBD we're putting in there, plus the other 50 or so cannabinoids that we know are in there as well at very small levels. And so that's going to be your full synergistic mind and body. A lot of people, you know, anti-anxiety, anti-stress, as well as all the the forehead down, things that we talked about, immune support, gut support, all that good stuff. And so that product, I would say, is for your daily supplement takers, your people that take vitamins, fish oils, and things like that, like me. I haven't taken anything that's a synthetic-related drug in 8 years or even over-the-counter cough medicines, things like that.
No, wait. Highlight that one more time. Did you say you haven't taken anything synthetic for 8 years? You've only been doing CBD-related products for all of your ailments, and you're healthy and you're alive and you're not stumbling and falling down stairs like everyone would assume you are.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting story. So I've had four hip surgeries as a teenager, and I'm 32 years old now and have chronic arthritis basically in my hips. And I could actually have one of my hips replaced right now if I wasn't trying to put it off until I was older. But I, about 8 years ago, I grew up in a house where I'd had these surgeries, and I hated painkillers, the actual prescription painkillers. And so I took a ton of Tylenol, ton of ibuprofen, ton of Aleve. I mean, there was days where I was taking 12 Aleve, and I don't know that it was even ever helping. I think there was definitely a placebo effect to that, but I don't think that it wasn't helping enough for me to be like, I can't give it up. And one day, just as an adult, I think I got healthy. I started working out, and then I got to the point of workout related soreness. And I kind of thought to myself, if I'm taking 8 Aleve a day, what are these little blue pills doing to my insides? Mm-hmm. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't using cannabis, but I didn't know anything about CBD at the time, because I didn't know anything about CBD until about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I started taking turmeric. Started looking at fish oil and curcumin and other things on the market, and really just started trying to be healthier, stretching, working out, not eating as much, being more conscious, drinking a lot more water. Simple things that we can do, sleeping a lot more, simple things we can do to really help achieve homeostasis. And so then CBD came along, and it was a game changer. And I'll be honest, it wasn't one of those things I took and I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so much better. But I took it for about 4 weeks. And one morning I forgot to take it. And about noon, I was like, what is wrong with me? I can barely get out of this chair. I sit at my desk, like, barely stand up. Did I work out yesterday? Did I go to the farm? What did I do? And it just hit me like, oh my gosh, I forgot to take my CBD. Took some food. And then 2 hours later, I was like, now that's how I'm supposed to feel. And it really is about that balancing act of balancing your system. And for some people, the first time they take it, it's life-changing. And for other people, I know a woman who had shingles. She took our gold product for 16 days and nothing happened. The next day she was like, oh, it's gone. It's crazy stories like that keep me going in this. So to keep going on the green, from the green to the gold. So you've got the green, you're going to be, if you have something that just an acute thing that you want to flip over would be where I would start on the green. And when you get to the gold, that's when, we've got to sit down and talk about your overall health too, but you've been relying on prescription drugs and relying on doctors and you just haven't found something that works for whatever it is that usually has a name. Whatever you're telling me you have, it usually has a name. It's in a medical journal somewhere. And that's when we really get to the gold, the more concentrated, packs more of a punch kind of thing. And there's also a balm that comes with that for direct application on soreness and things like that.
Nice. Now, in terms of the amount of time and the balance and the regimens and things like this, it's hard for people to grasp the idea that CBD could potentially be the for lack of a better term, the miracle medicine. It cures so much. I mean, at least for me, it helps with insomnia. It helps with anxiety. It helps with just like you said, just feeling normal over the course of a day. And it's been really weird to go back and forth of that. And I mean, like you, I've spent a number of years where I was popping pills, and they were prescribed from several big pharmaceutical companies and from several doctors with several certifications and PhDs and all this other fantastic stuff. But even with those, it would be like, today I feel okay, today I don't feel okay, today I'm not sure how I feel, this isn't working right, or there would always be that issue. And then eventually you realize you've developed kind of a dependence on operating on these chemicals that, to be honest, I can't pronounce 90% of the stuff that they write down on these things, and that started to bother me. It was just like, I don't know what's in it, I don't know how it's supposed to work, I know it's supposed to do all of this, and in my head, I watch these commercials, the new medication commercials, and it used to be a joke, but then, I started introducing medication, they started talking about medications for my kids, and it used to be a joke where the commercial is only 10 seconds, but the potential side effects is 45 seconds long, Then you're hearing all this, and you're like, why are we putting that into our bodies when we have all these natural alternatives? Now, with the industry growing, right? With for lack of a better term, with the marijuana industry and the research industry kind of having the, I guess, the shackles taken off a little bit and giving researchers time to breathe, you know, what is the exploration? You know, what is the rush? I mean, how far can we take this now?
Yeah, and that's kind of how I phrase it too, is what, the sky's the limit, right? You know, we want to participate in more studies. If you go to PubMed.gov and you search cannabidiol and any other word, or just search that one word, 1,700 studies come up. A year and a half ago, there was 200.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're talking, I mean, multiple studies a week coming out on different, you know, how it relates to other drugs, different, how it relates to certain people trying it for PTSD and some of the things you've talked about. You know, there are studies being done that are proving it to be successful in some cases. I'm not going to say it's a be all end all or anything, but, you know, an important thing to note is not all CBD is created equal. Mm-hmm. So CBD is a compound just like nicotine or THC or anything that can be isolated. And when isolated, studies are starting to show that it's actually not as effective in, you know, for overall health. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to feel a bit of immediate effect, you know, because it's going to be a direct shot of CBD. But when it's the entourage effect comes into play when it has all those other phytocannabinoids. So you're taking the plant and you're just making that plant as awesome as it can be, because all the goodies are in there working together, right? All the plant sterols, all the fatty acids, and then the 50 or 60 different phytocannabinoids, all the little, those little bits are going in there. It's almost like juicing a plant, right? But you're getting the majority of it, the main constituent of it is going to be CBD, and so it's going to be like driving the bus. And so when you've only got the bus driver and nobody else on the bus, you kind of only get the effects of the bus driver. But when you get a bus full of good stuff, now you're really talking about a healthy supplement. You're really talking about opening up your options to a healthier lifestyle. And like I said, CBD is for all different types of people. There's people that take CBD and then live the worst health, you know, worst lifestyle possible in terms of health. But when people start to take CBD and they start to use it as a tool, like I did, to be healthier themselves, then it really, you really start to see the positive effects.
Nice. Now, right now, in the United States, we've got this opioid epidemic, as people are calling it, and people are looking for alternatives. People are looking for ways to get people off of some of these high-end, very powerful, very potent pharmaceuticals. Would this be a place for CBD and products like it to step in and kind of alleviate that, or help someone transition into a more healthy lifestyle using it?
Well, I mean, I think that's the next frontier. I think it's, you know, timing is everything. And I think that's why we have the hemp program we have. We have the right people in the right place at the right time. I mean, people have been lobbying for hemp to become legal for farmers for 25 years. I'm not going to throw those people out, you know, under the bus, because I respect a lot of them and I appreciate what they've done. But the reality is nobody would listen to them because they were activists. They were cannabis activists too, a lot of them. So there was no separation. It really was the perception of, oh, well, this is just the camel's nose under the tent to legalize marijuana. And, you know, now that they're, you know, what happened was people from Kentucky and Colorado and some various states that were actual farmers, actual ag businesses, actual investors and companies that wanted to be, or potential investors that wanted to put some real money into this and see if it could work, started lobbying for it. And then we got the farm bill. And then states started to get their own bills and open it up for the rest of the people. You know, it didn't benefit the five people that got the farm bill passed. I'm just using five as an arbitrary number, but, you know, the group of people that got the farm bill passed, you know, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 12. There's 250 growers in Kentucky alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't just benefit them. It wasn't like anybody was trying to take over it, but it really was a case of right people, right place, right time. And I think, you know, the way this is all playing out with, you know, CBD this and CBD that, the World Health Organization came out and said, look, CBD is non-intoxicating and non-addictive. Why are y'all treating this, you know, any different than, I don't know, avocados, right? Like, it's a hemp product, a superfood. Sure, you know, you can't go around making medical claims until, you know, on supplements and things like that, and no one is. Everybody's marketing this as a supplement, as mm-hmm. a product to help people feel better. I can't tell you what it does for, because it does different things to every single person. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I can tell you is it's a hell of a lot better than pharmaceutical drugs, and no matter what those are. And knowing where I'm from, I mean, I've had friends overdose on heroin that started off with pharmaceutical drugs in high school. And I've had many of friends that have been in jail, lost family members, lost their personal lives has gone to hell because of it. Some even run rehabs now. And I can tell you that they're telling me that this might be the next frontier in terms of what CBD and what hemp extracts can do for people, because it can balance that system out and hopefully cause less dependency and less of that addictive nature that we've seen, perpetuate over time.
Now, can you get...
Because it is non-addictive.
Can you get... So it is non-addictive.
Is that what you just... So it's not addictive as a substance. The addiction is feeling good, right? We all want to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But it as a substance has been proven to be non-addictive. Or as a... Yeah.
Unlike, now, again, that's a huge contrast to a lot of these pharmaceutical drugs, a lot of the big things there. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I myself and my mom and my family members, there are medications out there that are of value, and I don't dismiss them. But anytime I can recommend a CBD product, I'm like, look, just try this. Just try it. If I'm wrong, you can tell me I'm wrong. You can go wherever you want and do it. But just try this and see how you feel about it. But one of the other stigmas behind it is, can you get CBD without marijuana? Can you grow just the hemp portion of it without marijuana? And maybe we have to clarify what part of the plant is the marijuana, is the part that gets you high versus the rest of the plant.
Well, I mean, no, it's not necessarily that. That's not necessarily the best way to describe it, because you could have two plants that look the exact same. And one could be marijuana and one could be hemp. The contents of that plant are what define hemp. Mm-hmm. Now, going forward, there'll be hemp will come from a seed. There's certified seeds all over the world that are certified as hemp, not marijuana, because they have 0.07% THC in every single plant that comes from the millions of seeds, and it's consistent and it's stabilized. Most of your CBD comes from the flower material of the hemp plant. If you were to take a marijuana plant and you were trying to get CBD out of it, you would be extracting a minor constituent of that plant, because the THC is going to be 30% and the CBD is going to be 1%. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the hemp plant, the CBD may be 5%, but the THC is 0.01. So the parts per million ratios are so different. In terms of plus, we're taking all of the plant, the whole top 24 inches. So there's stems, there's seeds, there's flower in there. And that's why you're seeing more of a full spectrum profile on our products than a lot of the products on the market.
I see that educates me, and I guarantee that's going to educate anybody that listens, that it is a completely separate plant, and it's a plant that has very little, you can't say none, you can't say no THC in it, but there's not enough in it for you to get that intoxicated feeling. It's kind of like
I was just going to say, think about it like, so we use this chart when we lobby politicians, because they're like, what is this 0.3? Like, why is that so important? It's like, well, that's kind of the global standard. And there's people that are lobbying for 1%. I don't disagree with that. I just think I know, how politicians work, and I know what we can achieve and what we can't. But that doesn't mean we can't achieve it down the road. So think of it as a definition of zero. The decaf coffee has caffeine in it. Fat-free foods have fat in them. Mm-hmm. Kombucha has alcohol in it. Mm-hmm. But there's a definition of zero to where that ingredient, if there's not X amount in it, then it's essentially non-detectable, or not worth acknowledging.
It is a difference that makes no difference, so it is no difference.
Exactly.
So in the terms of this, I mean, like, we when I was in Iraq, we had they brought us what is that? The I forget the name of the beer. It's the alcohol-free beer. It just tastes like
beer. Near
beer? Near beer. But it didn't have any alcohol in it. And we spent, you know, soldiers in the middle of a combat zone, you don't really have a whole lot to do but eat, sleep, and keep from dying. But in our spare time, we actually did the math on how much of those not alcohol-free beers that had like 0.1% or something like that alcohol in them, whatever that low threshold was, you'd have to drink like a pallet by yourself in order to feel anything off of these. And, you know, we were like, that's just not worth it. But it's the same general principle when we talk about hemp plants, or we talk about how this whole farming process goes. Now, walk that out just a little bit. How does that work? You take the plant, you grind it up, you grind it into a powder, or how do you get it into a form that is consumable?
Well, so in terms of the products we make, we're going to take that, you're looking at essentially like a cornfield, and the tops of the plants have buds and flowers and seeds and everything sticking up of them. The bottom is really these tall, long, skinny stalks. And so we go through there with a double-headed combine that's stripping the top material off the plants, and then, you know, a half second later, cutting that stalk at the base of the plant and laying it over in the field. And so that material that's being stripped off is siphoned through the combine and into a dump truck, where it's then taken to a kiln, just like you would hops, to be dried. So it's just a big warehouse where they keep it circulated and heated at about 100 degrees until you take all the moisture content out of there. Now, that stock that's laid on the ground, it's going to lay in a row for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, until it's redded, which is just a fancy word for rot. And then you're going to flip it over so the other side can even it out. And then you're going to bale it up like hay and take it to a fiber mill where they can take it and turn it into that composite material we talked about with Mercedes and BMW and all that kind of stuff. Once we get that dried material from the kiln, we take that, we put it into a CO2 extractor, which is the cleanest form of extraction on the market. There's a lot of people using solvents and things that the technology hasn't really quite caught up yet. I don't know that I would trust products that are using ethanol and propane, things like that. But we extract that using the CO2 extractor, and then that's where we get that raw material to then start to formulate our products.
Nice. Now, in terms of the technology, right, you're unique. You've been in this industry for a while. Is there a huge barrier for someone? Like, if they were already a farmer in, say, the corn industry, could they get a license, or who would they need to talk to? How would they actually start getting into this business if somebody wanted to do it?
Yeah, and just to be clear, there's a lot of people growing for that same material that we strip off the top of our hundreds, you know, large-scale farming type things. Mm-hmm. You can grow like tobacco, or you could grow more like marijuana, right? Like outdoor marijuana spaced out like a tobacco field, and then you have to do it all by hand, hang it up in a barn and dry it, and then hand strip it. It's just not going to be economical going forward, and I think that there are people placing too much value on that. So, sorry, go back. What was your question?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of discussion about how this all works. You know, there are. I'm trying to find all of the different benefits to bringing this all out, and we've got farmers around the nation who are looking for new industries to get into. And I've had a lot of people, you know, that have brought this up. They're like, you know, I met somebody in Kansas, like, you know, I'd love to get into the hemp or the marijuana industry, but it's still federally treated like it's heroin. You know, I'm scared the ATF is going to kick in. And then, oh, by the way, they're going to price me out of the market because there's just no way for me to do it. And it sounds like most of the technology like they would use to be able to do this, they've got, if they're already farmers, they've got a good chunk of it, and they just need some wisdom behind it.
Well, I think it would be naive to say they've already, you know, so the tobacco farmers, sure, they've already got a way to grow it that way. People that have corn and soy, you know, they're going to have combines, but you're going to need retrofitted heads, some different, you know, basically attachments would be what they would need. Same thing with fiber. Nobody's been cutting stalks down that are that thick when they're cutting hay. See, everything needs to be souped up a little bit, and there is technology available. So really, you know, land is a plus, obviously, to have. Tractors and labor is a plus to have, and then capital to make these small investments to start a new crop. It's not something that, you know, people 5 years ago were saying, oh, you just drop it in. You go out there and plant it like this, and you go harvest it like this, and it's just like corn, or it's just like tobacco, or it's just like, you know, whatever they're growing for, depending on that. And it's just not. I mean, that was a bit of a pipe dream, I think. But so, yeah, I think if you're willing to invest in something new, in terms of an attachment or a new piece of equipment here and there, then yeah, that it is very optimal for, option for farmers.
So it's not just a big fly by night. I mean, it requires some forethought. It requires some work. It requires some ingenuity and some understanding to do this. And you can't just kind of pop one of these up at random and then just go about, you know, I guess putting your local dealer, for lack of a better term, out of business. I mean, it seems like it's a well thought out, a well regulated idea that has super benefits for it. And I'm, for the life of me, I'm like, why are we still at this place where we're holding it? And you'd said it earlier on part, we've got old school mentality politicians, but then we've got a lot of people who still have this stigma about it in their heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, the first, I've been doing this 4 years now, and I still get people that come to meetings or come up to me at a show or whatever. And they're like, so how much did I take of this to get high? Or you got the good stuff behind the counter. You know, it's like, you're not getting this, man. Like, think of this as soy or chia or just any kind of superfood that you've seen marketed, but then multiply it by 10. Like, so I always compare the industry, and I'm one of the founding members of the U.S. Hemp Roundtable, to the Avocado Association, right? 12 years ago, nobody knew what guacamole was. I mean, a lot of people did, unless you lived in California or whatever. It wasn't a big deal. Now I just had a breakfast this morning, which is the California scramble, and had avocado in it. And avocados have become the big thing. The guacs, or you see it everywhere. I mean, so the Avocado Association started. It was like five farmers in New Mexico that were growing avocados and supplying the whole country, and they just basically grew the market to where now they have a Super Bowl commercial every year, and they're promoting the avocado industry. And avocado became this health food. It was, you know, in every magazine and. All the celebrities are using that kind of thing. That's what's going to happen with this. This is going to be a healthy way of living type product, and so are hemp foods. And then marijuana and cannabis will be like craft brewing or wine, where it's different strokes for different folks. Everybody has a different palate. You know, you want to support local, and you want all those kinds of things will be definitely heavier and way more, or, you know, marijuana oriented than when this is a big commodity and we're thinking of it like popcorn and avocados and soy.
I hope you're right. I hope we get to that utopian society where the two are separated. And like you said, marijuana and everything else becomes this craft brew or wineries or things like that. And it's just, you know, different level, different thing for mature adults that want to go that direction. But if you want to get healthy, you can do this. Now, we've talked a lot about the medical benefits, the personal benefits for individuals and how it can replace a lot of things, about using it to fight kind of the opioid crisis and supplements and things of that nature. But there's a lot of positive aspects for hemp. And one of my stations is Eastern Carolina, is an Eastern Carolina station that happens to be New Bern's News Talk. And they are the sailing capital of North Carolina, where everybody is looking into things like sails and rigging and things like that for their vessels, right, for their sailboats. But hemp has some overreaching possibilities for it. And there's different ways that we can use it to change more than just ourselves. What else can we use it for? And how can we use it to kind of heal the planet, if it were?
Well, I think as a crop, it's going to help with that. So hemp sequesters CO2. So we have an excess of CO2 in the air. It's going to pull that into that field, and so into the ground. And you know, once you take that hemp and you cut it down, the roots are still there. You're turning that back into the soil, and you've essentially now left the soil better than you found it. There's not a crop that we grow in America that leaves the soil better than we found it. So when you add that into the rotation, now you're starting to talk about better yields for farmers with corn or soy or hay, or you know, their cattle are getting fed better, whatever it may be, because you've improved the quality of that land. So they're going to have lower input costs and higher yields on their other crops. So now we've created a new crop, a new source of income. We've created a better, left the field better, we found it, which means the next crop we bring in behind it's going to have better yield, needs more money, going to have less input costs, which means more money. So it's a win-win-win for the farmer, and that's, you know, this whole save the planet thing, that's the first step, right? And we've got to get back to the farm. The average age farmer is 60 years old. Farming income's down 40% in the last 10 years in the United States. That is not going, it's not sustainable. We have to have alternative crops. We have to have another option, something new. And then we take that, so then we get all the food and we get all the health supplements out of there, But we've got that fiber material that we were talking about. Now we have material to build healthier houses that literally breathe, like the house I built here in Lexington out of hempcrete. We have better, more sustainable horse bedding, which causes less waste, which can then be put back into the earth with the manure and things like that. We've got a clean energy we can burn. If we need to burn that herd, we could do that. Then we take the fiber, we start making more environmentally friendly car parts and plane parts and, you know, anything that's mass made and mass formed, like that we hopefully can replace plastics and fiberglass and all of these nasty things that, you know, people plastic gets a bad rap because, and I'm on a big no straws 2018 kick. So I recommend all your listeners do the same thing, but plastic gets a bad rap because everybody says, oh, plastic is killing the earth. And it doesn't
biodegrade.
They didn't know that when they made it, right? Mm-hmm. In the 1930s, they were like, this is amazing. Look how easy we could make these shapes and these materials. So now we have a chance to hopefully switch all that stuff around. And then, you know, to finish there, I think the important, everybody says, oh, man, the worst thing in the world that we haven't had hemp for 70 years. And I don't disagree with that either. But on the bright side, we get to start from scratch, knowing what we now know about GMOs. And knowing what we now know about chemicals and stuff. And if you think the hemp industry is going to let, you know, as consumers, we're going to control whether that happens or not. But I can tell you, you know, we're starting this from the ground up, knowing all that. So we have the opportunity to prevent it as opposed to have to reverse that cycle. So, yeah, it's, I mean, again, you ask at the beginning of the show, why did I get in this? It's like, I don't know. It made so much sense to me. I was like, nothing can go wrong, right?
Mm-hmm. I listen to it, I hear about it, and I do a lot of reading on it, and I see it, and everybody, you know, with so many different avenues out here, with so many different places where we can put it, I mean, what's the harm in at least researching? What's the harm in at least capitalizing on the fact that, at least temporarily, you know, we have a window to do research? Like you said, we had 200 research papers not too long ago, and now we've got a couple of thousand of them, of people just looking out for how this is going to work and what we can apply it for and where we can go and how we can heal ourselves and the planet. I mean, I didn't realize that hemp actually enriches the soil. And in my head, I'm thinking, you know what? Every farmer should rotate this. Like, they should have one crop that they should have their main crop during the middle of the year. But when they can grow hemp, they run this there. And as I understand it, it takes less time to grow a full hemp plant than it does anything else. And it just makes things better. And I hope we get to that future where the stigma is gone and more people are accepting of it, more people are open to the possibilities of it, and we can get more people being healthy. But Josh, we are about out of time here on the Charles Stendel Show, and I like to give my guests an opportunity to promote what matters to them and give my audience a way to connect with them later. So how can they do that?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, if you want to learn more about the company I work for, cvsciences.com, you can find that information about what we're doing there. Our product line is pluscbdoil.com. And then if you're a supporter of hemp, I've mentioned the U.S. Hemp Roundtable a couple times on here. There's a lot of firms, hemp companies and nonprofits that are actual members and pay a lot of money for all the hard work that happens in the lobbying front. But if you just want to keep up to date and get information about the hemp industry and show your own support, you can go to hempsupporter.com and join as a internet member or whatever for free. You'll get weekly updates and stay in the know about all the happenings with the hemp industry. And then if you like what you heard, I do a radio show every week called the Hemp Happy Hour. You can find it on iTunes and SoundCloud. I bring on different guests from different parts of the industry. We've had congressmen, ag commissioners, Dr. Bronner, or David Bronner, Willie Nelson's son. It's quite a cast of characters, but we try to keep it light and keep it very informative. And you can check that out there. And then if you're on social media, at Hendrix Hemp, Hendrix like Jimmy, that's me on Instagram and Twitter. Would love to get a follow, and you can keep up with a lot of stuff that I do on there. So appreciate you having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for being here. I mean, honestly, it's a topic that I don't get to talk about often, and I'm excited about it. And it was a pleasure having the conversation. So I look forward to keeping up with you and seeing where you go from here.
Yeah, we appreciate all your support.
Right on. You have a good one, Josh.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. So that's it. Really good conversation with Josh Hendricks, like Jimi Hendrix from CV Sciences. If you want to find out more about him or more about the information that he's presenting for you, go check out pluscbdoils.com and get some interesting stuff out there. If you're interested in trying some of their products, you can use the promo code radio15 and get 15% off your first purchase over there. And if you use it, let me know how you feel about it in the comment section, or if you're out there listening on New Bern's News Talk at 107.5 FM, if you're on the 252 radio app, or you're over on the CharlesTendellShow.com, or you're on Facebook out there for the live stream, please do leave your information or hit me up over on the CharlesTendellShow.com and let me know how it works for you. Because me personally, I've used it for everything, like I said, from anxiety to having problems sleeping, from insomnia, things like that. And it works great. I mean, honestly, it has replaced so many different medications. And if I can get more people to think about it, at least to try it, I'm happy. So if you're interested, go check them out. PlusCBDOils.com. There are a couple other places that I recommend, but I'd love to see what you think of them there. If you guys want to get more information, you know where to go. You know what you can do. And if you want to find out how this can impact your local area, you should probably start paying more attention and start having more of the conversation. So please do get involved, have the conversation, and do all those fantastic things that you do online and everywhere else. So if you go over to the Charles Tendell Show, you go anywhere else, get involved in the conversation. And let's see if we can get to that utopian society where we've got CBD and hemp related products on one side, and we've got marijuana doing its thing on the other side, and we live harmoniously out there. Vote, get your legislators, term limits. It's a whole package deal here, people. And there's a lot of stuff that you can learn out there. Go check them out. Go find out more information and do your own research. Don't just take my word or take the word of big pharmaceutical or anybody else out there. Go do the research. And the best way to do it is to try something that's natural, that comes from the earth, that goes back to the earth, and is here to take care of all of you. So that's it here on the Charles Tendell Show. The music means I am out of time, and you know that, but I will hopefully see you guys, well, I don't know, maybe tomorrow. We are trying to change up the scheduling here with all the other stuff that's going on here on the Charles Tendell Show. But hey, start the conversation, and I will see you when I see you.